This is The World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Tame Impala's latest album, The Slow Rush, was released in February 2020. You might remember February 2020 as being the last relatively normal month before the COVID pandemic hit North America and lockdowns began. And Tame Impala, a frequent music festival headlining band, was scheduled to play a ton of shows. Then everything changed. Today, I speak with Kevin Parker of Tame Impala at his home in Australia about the very different year he's had, about the Slow Rush, and about his whole musical history, from when he was making quote-unquote unlistenable songs as a teenager to the just-released 10th anniversary edition of Tame Impala's debut album, Inner Speaker. Our chat's coming up, but let's kick things off with a song you would have probably heard Tame Impala play live if they could have this past year. From the Slow Rush, here's a bit of Lost in Yesterday. From Tame Impala's latest album, The Slow Rush, that was Lost in Yesterday. Today, I am joined by Tame Impala mastermind, Kevin Parker. Welcome to The World Cafe, Kevin.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Your latest album, The Slow Rush, it's been out for just over a year now, and time seems to be a theme on this album, you know, not just the album title itself, but the tracks like It Might Be Time, Tomorrow's Dust, Lost in Yesterday, One More Hour, One More Year. You were obviously thinking about how time moves and how it affects us before the pandemic. Now, our perception of time in lockdowns and during all of this is something that everyone's sort of talking about. How has your experience of time changed, or has it?
Well, I don't know. It's a good question. It's put everyone on the same plane of like experiencing it in this weird way. I don't know. I guess I'm kind of the kind of person that I've kind of just spent my life like overthinking things like our experience of time. You know, I guess that's kind of like why I felt like it was a good idea to make an album about it. Because like it's like the album, it's not really like about time as such. It's more about just how like we experience it as a society or a civilization or whatever. We've never actually had to think about like where we're going to be in a year or 2 years. And now people are telling us like, you might not be able to do what you want to do for another 2 years. And everyone's like, kind of, it kind of shakes you, you know?
Yeah. And like how everything changed so drastically that before this feels like a different lifetime almost.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Like, I don't want to jump the gun, but the other day was the year anniversary of the album that came out. And it really felt like it was released in like a different world, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, normally there's kind of a structure to an album rollout too. And this time you're not touring the record the way you normally would. How did you deal with that change?
I mean, I'd like to say that it was really hard. But I mean, it was different, and obviously didn't get to do all the things, and we lost, I don't know, however much money, like with tours we were supposed to do, and they got cancelled and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know, I'm the kind of person that gets a weird kick out of the goalposts getting changed, getting shifted. It's definitely like extremely privileged of me to say like, oh yeah, it's a bit of fun, because obviously like it's been devastating. But just on a purely kind of, you know, music commercial level, it's been interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. What is, I mean, aside from, you know, the money or the rush of playing on stage, what's the weirdest thing you found yourself missing about being on tour?
Aeroplanes. Yeah, jet lag, aeroplanes, just that weird, annoying taste in the back of your mouth when it's like 4 a.m. at an airport and you're just huddling, you're just sort of like clutching your boarding pass and you're just like, I just need to get to the plane. And then I can sleep.
I'm speaking with Kevin Parker of Tame Impala today at World Cafe. You write and record the music for Tame Impala alone in the studio. So a year of isolation. Is that something that, you know, kind of does work for you?
I think I'm definitely well equipped for it. It's the kind of thing I can do standing on my head.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, I'm married, so I have my wife with me at all times, so I don't like get lonely. I feel like a few months into the pandemic, I suddenly went, oh, I've got it easy because I have someone to spend it with. I mean, certainly musically, I think I'm well equipped.
We're going to dive into the way that you work in the studio a little later on. But first, a little while ago, you said to Zane Lowe in an interview that you didn't really think about playing the songs from the Slow Rush in the format of a band and you were making it for yourself. But now, you know, as their live shows are maybe going to start coming back, there might be a light at the end of the tunnel here. I was wondering if you could choose a song from the Slow Rush for us to listen to next that you are particularly excited about playing in front of a live audience when you get the chance.
I mean, all of them. But if we're talking about a live band, let's go with One More Hour. It's easily the most stadium rock. So, yeah.
All right. All right. Well, let's listen to it. It's One More Hour from Tame Impala. You just heard One More Hour from Tame Impala's The Slow Rush. I'm Raina Duras. My guest today in the World Cafe is Tame Impala's Kevin Parker. The Slow Rush is his fourth full-length studio album. It's been about a decade since he released his debut full-length album, Inner Speaker. But let's go even further back. Kevin, you grew up with lots of music in your house. Your dad played guitar. Your brother played the drums. Mm-hmm. Could you talk about how they influenced you to start playing music?
I don't know that I would have done it without that kind of presence. Obviously, my earliest memories of music are of my dad kind of just playing his guitar. So, yeah.
And what kind of music was he? Would you be hearing around the house? Like, what kind of music did your dad play?
Well, he'd play acoustic guitar all the time. Like, pretty much every day, he would just play whatever 60s song he felt like covering in the living room. But he was obsessed with The Shadows. I don't know if you know The Shadows. It's like a 60s surf rock.
Let's play I'm just going to play a clip of a Shadows song right now. So we can
hear
some.
Awesome.
So that was The Shadows. I'm talking to Kevin Parker of Tame Impala. Okay, so you heard your dad playing songs by The Shadows when you were growing up around the house. And that, you know, so why was he so in love with that band?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I feel like I get it. it's my first memory of feeling the emotion in music.
Right.
He loved the guitar, because it's like Shadows is like these soaring lead parts, you know, it's almost like someone's singing and they're so emotive. I just remember just almost crying because he was really good at it. So I just remember feeling really emotional, and it's kind of the first time I remember thinking that. And to this day, you know, like, it's kind of some of the most emotional music that I know. And, you know, maybe because we're related, we have the same musical tastes or like the same things that trigger us or that affect us.
You know, because I would say listening to Tame Impala, you do make very, you know, evocative music. Is that something that you set out to do? Like, is triggering that emotional response something that you think about when you sit down to make music?
Totally. I mean, if not think about, it's just something I kind of, like, if that's not happening, then I'm not really interested in it. If I'm not triggering something emotional while I'm making it, then I probably wouldn't bother, you know?
Right.
It's kind of just, it's like the way that I know that I'm doing something good.
You started recording your own music, you know, when you were around, I guess, 12. What did that early music that you were making sound like? Could you describe it to us?
It was pretty unlistenable because I didn't really know what I was doing. It just sounded like a weird kitchen sink of, it was completely genreless, put it that way.
I mean, you're part of this musical family. Your brother was playing music, your dad was playing music, you were playing music. But was there encouragement to follow like a dream and go play music professionally?
No, absolutely not. Definitely not.
No?
Well, my dad had a lot of musician friends. And for someone like my dad who was quite sort of like, I'm going to say academically driven and like, because like he loved music and music was just everything to him. But he was also really kind of like pragmatic and grew up in a world where it was important to make money. And if you didn't,
right,
then like, what are you doing? You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
He was really sort of like success and academia driven. And he had a lot of musician friends that were struggling, you know, because it's like music isn't necessarily going to be something that you make a lot of money with. And so I think like he could see how much I was falling deeper into just being obsessed with music. And so I think he was worried. He was kind of like, he just tried to sort of like guide me back out. You know?
And do you have a backup plan? That kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm speaking with Kevin Parker on World Cafe today. I want to play a song next from your 2008 self-titled EP, a song called Half Full Glass of Wine, which really, that EP, I love that song. That was the first song of yours I ever heard. My sister played it for me long, long ago. And I think it was that EP, really the first thing you released as Tame Impala other than tracks on MySpace. I know you recorded parts of the song at home and then part at a pub in Fremantle where you lived called the Norfolk Basement. Could you tell us how you ended up doing that?
Well, it was a bar that our manager worked at, so we were allowed to practice there. And I owned like one microphone, and you can't record drums with one microphone. So I just drove there with my drum kit in my car. And what's funny is like because I'd record the rest of the music in my bedroom in the share house we lived in. So I'd sort of like build up songs without any drums on them. And then I'd have one day where I'd just go and record drums for all the songs. So I'd be like, all right, I've got 4 hours. Let's go. I'll just bash out all the drums. That's why, you know, the song Half a Glass of Wine, that's why there's no real ending.
Right.
It just finishes with me absolutely just completely f-ing around on the drums. Because it was kind of like a celebration of getting to the end of the song. Like, well, that's another song. Like a lot of the other songs I did ended like that. I was like, yeah, I got to the end of the song. It was kind of just like an absolute stupid end of the song celebration because I assumed I'd faded out before then.
Well, that's something to listen for then as you listen to this song. It is Half Full Glass of Wine. It's Tame Impala. From Tame Impala's 2008 self-titled EP, huge jam, Half Full Glass of Wine, joined by Kevin Parker of Tame Impala today. I always find myself, Kevin, stumbling when I talk about Tame Impala on air, going between calling it they and he, because, you know, it's a solo project, basically, but people talk about it like a band. You have a live band when you tour. Is it true that when you first signed your first record deal, you told them that Tame Impala was a band when it actually was your solo project?
Yeah, 100%.
Why?
I was shy. I assumed they wouldn't be interested in, like, someone that records music by themselves that kind of makes it sound like a band. I figured it would have been a bit confusing for them and they would have been turned off. You know, because, like, I liked the idea of getting signed by a record label because I didn't have the kind of, like, drive. You know, I was never going to be one of those artists that's, like, fully independent, you know, like shopping all the music around. Like, I never sent my demos to a single record label because I was just shy. I just assumed it was just, my music was just going to be for me and my friends, unless a record label found it, which is what happened. But yeah, I kind of just wanted to paint this picture of a utopian psych rock band. You know, I just figured they'd be more interested if it was like a bunch of guys with long hair, you know? I mean, like, it so happened that all my friends did have long hair, so that was handy.
Was that something, like, did you want that? Like, did you want to be in that kind of a band, or was that just the image you wanted them to see?
I wanted to be in that.
Yeah.
So that's why it frustrated me for a little while that people thought we were a band and we weren't. But at the end of the day, like, I love being in a band. I love being in a group of people and playing music together with a bunch of people and communicating on a musical level. Like, that's something that I love. And it's a reason why I'll never be, like, a solo touring act. So, yeah, I totally wanted that. But musically, I didn't know how to do it because I'd spent so many years recording music by myself. You know, like, I didn't know how to, if I wrote a song and the bass line goes, I didn't know how to live with the song being anything other than that, you know?
Right.
So I had no concept of being able to compromise musically.
Yeah. How did you learn to do that? Like, what did it look like when you did bring your songs to a band and that transfer kind of happened and you shared those responsibilities?
Well, there was a good few years of friction because, like, I kind of wanted it to be a collaborative thing, but I had all these songs and I had really specific ideas of how the songs would come together. Mm-hmm. And so there was friction for a few years. It almost kind of, like, broke the band up. And then we kind of just sort of, like, we all just snapped out of it and went, like, okay, let's just call it what it is, which is Kevin's solo project. You know?
Yeah.
And the band is like us, we're friends, and we're going to just bring those songs to life on a stage and not sort of, like, bring egos into it. And since then, we've never had a single band argument. Like, they're my best friends. I wouldn't want to do it differently.
This is World Cafe. I'm talking to Kevin Parker of Tame Impala today. So right now, you're releasing the 10-year anniversary box set of your debut full-length album, Inner Speaker. Came out in 2010. It was really kind of a turning point for people paying attention to your music. You're getting all this praise. How did all of that attention and praise and that new huge audience affect your actual music making and your songwriting?
It was a little bit overwhelming at first, and I didn't. Like, I'm the kind of person that's good at finding a way not to take a compliment. You know, like, my self-doubt is so well-tuned, so finely tuned inside me that even getting a bunch of, like, critical acclaim on music I just made, I found a way to not be satisfied with it. My brain found a way. But at the same time, it was kind of like, It was kind of like a boost of confidence for me, like for the first time in my life. I guess I kind of felt like I'd found my identity. Yeah.
I know that you're someone who will listen back to your albums, you know, when you're making them over and over and over again and tweaking them. When you listen back to Inner Speaker a decade later, what stands out to you? Like, what do you hear that maybe you weren't conscious of then?
It's so funny because it just sounds like a different person making it. It sounds like, this is going to sound really cheesy, but it sounds like a kid searching for something. Like, I was desperate to prove to myself that I could do it.
And knowing that people are going to hear it.
It was pretty overwhelming, the sort of anticipation of everyone hearing it, especially because with the EP, like talking about, you know, I just recorded the drums in the bar in a few hours, just sort of messing around with the drums, basically. That was kind of like a veil of like, oh, I wasn't really trying, you know, like it was kind of like an excuse for like, oh, if the songs sound a bit shabby and the structures are a bit weird, or, you know, it's not really that radio friendly, or it's not accessible, or not even accessible, but it's not well refined or whatever. That was because I wasn't trying. And now it's like, okay, you have to make an album. Now you're officially trying, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there was no hiding anymore, basically, is what I'm saying. So, yeah. I mean, by the end of finishing the album, I was a complete head case. Not in like a seriously bad way, I just sort of lost perspective on what I'm doing. And so I can just hear that in the music.
Well, we're going to play Solitude is Bliss from Inner Speaker next. Where was your head when you were doing this one? What should we listen for here?
Well, here's a good example. So Solitude is Bliss, I thought everyone was going to say I was a complete sellout for releasing a song like that. I was like, oh my God, I'm doing a pop song. You know, to me that sounded, it sounded like You Really Got Me by the Kinks or something. <You know? laughs> Just absolute short, sharp pop. Even though the song is like 4.5 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, I had sort of like, I don't know, what do they call it? Indie rock guilt or something back then, where it's like, if you try to do something pop, then you're a sellout. I had a bit of that kind of toxic mentality in my brain. But yeah, anyway.
Good pop is so hard to make.
Exactly. Now it's kind of like the holy grail to me. Good pop is like the ultimate.
Let's listen to this. It's Solitude is Bliss. It's Tame Impala of World Cafe. Cracks in the pavement underneath my shoe. I care less and less about and less about you. No one else around to look at me, so I can look at my shadow as much as I please. All the kicks that I can't compare to, making friends like a rose. You are listening to World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras. Today, I am talking to Kevin Parker of Tame Impala. That was Solitude is Bliss from his debut full-length album, Inner Speaker, which just turned a decade old. And speaking of solitude, in normal times when traveling is, you know, an option, you would take trips so that you could write alone. When you're planning one of those trips, other than obviously, you know, being alone, what are you looking for as far as your surroundings? Like, what kinds of places do you find inspiring, Kevin?
I just like to feel like I'm in the middle of nowhere and that just no one can hear me. I like to feel isolated. There's like in the life of a song, there's a point where everyone hears the song and then it belongs to everyone that has heard the song. But up until that point, the song just belongs to me and it's formless. You know, it has no beginning, middle, and end. It's completely abstract. It's just melodies and chords and lyrics, and only I've heard it. So it could be the best song in the world, because I think it is in that moment. Doesn't matter that it might not be, because it could be, you know?
Yeah, and then, the potential.
And then one, exactly, the potential is infinite. And there'll come a day when I play the song to someone and they'll say, oh yeah, it's pretty good. You know?
Yeah.
And then the song will come down. I was going to say crashing down, but that's only if they say they hate it. Then the song will come down to land, you know, and then the song will live on earth for the rest of its days. Mm-hmm. But up until that point, it's just a magical time for me and music.
The Slow Rush came out in February 2020. I do understand that just a few months before it was released, you remastered the entire thing after hearing the album at a listening party. Why? Like, why did you go back and remaster the whole thing?
I think I went back and remixed it. Oh, no, it had been mastered. Quite right. I lose track with all this stuff. Like, I don't expect to ever, with an album, I don't expect to mix it once and then master it once and it's done. You know? That requires way too much mental clarity.
Do you ever get to a point where things feel finished? Or, like, is there a point where you're like, okay, Kevin, that's enough. You have to let it go. Or could you do that forever?
I'm getting better at kind of just being zen with it. You know, like, no, there's no such thing as perfect in that way. Like, the first couple of albums, it bummed me out immensely that I didn't feel like it was perfect.
Right.
Bummed me out immensely. And it almost kind of, like, just made me hate the whole experience. So in the album with Currents, I just told myself, like, just don't be like this next time, you know? Just try to enjoy it. And at the end of it, you won't think it's perfect, but that's okay. That's how it's basically got to be.
I want to talk about a song that you kept working on almost publicly in a way, the song Borderline.
Okay.
You released it as a single back in April 2019, and it sounded like this when you released it that time. So that's the original single version of the song Borderline. The version you hear on the album, The Slow Rush, is different. And one thing that really stands out is the bassline melody, because on the album, it's much bigger. It's got like this womp, womp kind of sound. Why was that something that you really needed to change?
To be honest, I didn't think that anyone would notice the difference. And I'm kind of impressed at people that have noticed a difference or said that I like one version over the other, because I've gradually felt more and more like things like that, things like mixing things or drum sounds or bass sounds or things like that are just things that musos pick up on, or like that, like just music nerds pick up on. New music nerds like myself, for example. So I've kind of consoled myself that those kind of things I'm free to change, because the song is still the same.
You know, there's something about that song, Borderline, the bass line in there, that is this really fun, confident sound. Like, it's got swagger. Like, you could imagine like a cool guy in a movie walking down the street to it, like right. In the beginning of Saturday Night Fever or something. At this point, a bit over a decade into your career, we talked about what you hear when you listen back to, say, Inner Speaker Now, but who are you now as an artist compared to that person who made Inner Speaker?
I hope I'm the same person, if nothing else, just when it comes to making music. And I guess that's kind of like what I always try and get back to. I just want to be that kid in his bedroom with a pair of headphones and an 8-track and nothing else.
I'm thinking about how, you know, when you said you were making Inner Speaker and there was all that pressure, now, you know, you're pretty far along. You've got 4 albums. You've done mm-hmm. very well. Like, do you still feel that pressure, or are you, you know, in a more self-possessed place?
Of course I feel the pressure, and I've always known that the pressure is good. Mm-hmm. You know, like the day you don't feel any pressure is the day you don't try hard.
Right.
You know, like I always want to be finding new things or just sort of like gaining a new skill.
We're going to finish this off by playing Borderline from The Slow Rush. So here it is. It's Borderline, Tame Impala. Borderline from Tame Impala's latest album, The Slow Rush. Today, I've been talking to Kevin Parker of Tame Impala. Kevin, thank you so much. This was awesome.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
I'm Rena Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.